Earlier today, I spoke with Floyd Abrams, who is one of Judith Miller's lawyers and a noted First Amendment lawyer. I asked Abrams if Miller would accept a waiver of confidentiality from her source, like the last-minute reprieve given to Matthew Cooper by his source.
You know, I really don't know the answer. It would obviously depend on what the person, or probably people, said. We shouldn't assume there's only one source here.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it hasn't come to that.
But you're not saying, though, that Judith Miller regards the conversations that she had as being absolutely eternally confidential. If people came and said, you can talk about it before the grand jury, would you do that? Or would anything at this point be regarded as achieved under duress?
I don't know the answer to that, because I know that she feels strongly that she really ought not to cooperate with an effort to reveal her source. And if the source wants to come forward, let the source come forward, but that she should not cooperate in the outing, as it were, of the source.
Do you think that her source is in any way morally obliged to stand up and say, I called up Judy Miller and I take responsibility for my actions?
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, we have a strange situation here. Journalists don't know what they're going to hear when somebody calls on the phone or when they speak to someone on the phone and ask a question. Legally, in my view, it shouldn't make any difference. And morally, even, it shouldn't make any difference in terms of the reporter keeping her word, whether the source is admirable or not, or serving the public, really, or not.
Well, Judge Hogan yesterday took that to extremes. He recalled that the law that's being invoked here was written after the assassination of a CIA station chief in Athens.
Yeah.
What if, he wrote, assumed that there were an assassination as a result of this? Would Ms. Miller be in the position to say she promised confidentiality to the person that gave her the name and resulted in the assassination? Is the claim that absolute?
The best way to answer is that I know she wouldn't. If the question is, would she hide an assassin? No.
But while you say that Judith Miller would not hide an assassin, some people do suspect that she might be protecting a character assassin. When the New York Times first editorialized about this, they said the original leak was an egregious abuse of power. Are you asserting one freedom to protect somebody who's abusing powers and
maybe
trying to go after someone else?
Maybe. I mean, sources who provide information sometimes do it for bad motives, and indeed sometimes have bad effects. I don't think you can pick and choose in terms of when you keep your word. And I know Judy doesn't think so either.
Well, would it strike you that if Judge Hogan posited that hypothetical yesterday in court about the assassination of a CIA agent based on a leak, that is the old Philip Agee leaks, led to the writing of this law, it sounds as though he's talking about an investigation of compromising a U.S. undercover intelligence agent.
It sounds like he's talking about Valerie Plame.
Yeah.
Now, it's worth saying that it does make a difference that there has been no harm done to her or attempted on her. I mean, it may have compromised, I suppose it did, her ability to continue working in that position that she had worked on.
But one could make the argument that if she had a lifelong series of associates whom she had been known to share offices with at various times, many people might be compromised.
Well, that's
and there
true.
Might
and,
be something down the line.
That's why some journalists, like Judy Miller, would not publish the name of an active CIA agent.
Is there any chance that she can get out of jail before the expiry of the grand jury's term?
It's possible that the lawyer could go back after some time has passed and try to urge on Judge Hogan that basically to ask him to find that there's really no reason to think that she would or will reveal the names. Remember that the whole purpose of this is not supposed to be to punish her. The jailing is a form of coercion. And as Judge Hogan quite correctly said yesterday, she has the key to her cell. If she's willing to reveal her sources, she can be out today. But she's not willing, and she thinks that does violate her journalistic and personal integrity. And so she will stay there unless and until a decision is made that either A, she won't talk, or B, that the grand jury term has ended.
Well, Floyd Abrams, thank you very much for talking
to
us today.
Sure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Floyd Abrams, who is the lawyer for Judith Miller, the New York Times reporter, who was jailed yesterday, speaking to us from New York. Mm-hmm.